We are going to talk movies with Mike Mayo. If you want to see more of Mike's movie reviews, go to mike-mayo.com. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. And we had incredible thunderstorms here over the weekend. And I spent the weekend kind of without my various little electronic toys because a lightning strike near the house fried one telephone and one television, and it completely took out my whole internet and cable and everything. So we just got all that stuff back yesterday, and it was a very strange weekend without.
Yeah, I have to say, I wouldn't deal well with that. I think I'd probably head off to a hotel somewhere so I could have all the stuff around me, but that's just me.
One learns to adapt.
Yes, one does. All the I'm maybe not the best of adapters, but before we get into what's coming out on DVD and pay-per-view today, a story from Hollywood 411. This is Roger Friedman's site, the entertainment reporter. And we had a story last week that Mary and I talked about briefly. The big wigs in Hollywood were horribly worried that they had three big movies coming out and they were all going to flop. And these were All Eyes on Me, which did $26 million domestically. It's a Tupac Shakur biopic. And that doesn't seem like a terrible amount to me. We don't know how much it costs, but that seems all right. You had Rough Night, which apparently is not a funny comedy. It did about $8 million, $12 million overall. But this thing only cost $20 million to make and maybe half and again that much to market. So in the long run, they'll probably be all right. And you had The Book of Henry. It didn't do much of all, $1.4 million, but very high per screen. It was a limited release. And I have to, and I'll grant, all I know about these movies is none of them appear to be very good. But that said, the idea that these are big flops that are just ruining Hollywood summer is, I think, overblown. Mike, how about yourself?
Oh, yeah, completely. Since basically, Hollywood doesn't care about movies like that. there's no Marvel connection, no Disney connection, no big special effects in any of those, no animation. Those are the things that Hollywood really cares about, puts a lot of time and money and effort into. Incredible amounts of money. I mean, your average the Transformers movie that's going to be opening up next week, I guarantee you, cost way more to make than all three of those movies put together. And of the three that you mentioned, two of them are just kind of they're so-so. They'll be doing well enough when they come out on DVD and pay-per-view. The third one, Book of Henry, is monumentally bad. I mean, it is, one of these movies that people come out of thinking, what in the world did I just see? It is that bad. I mean, it's joining the pantheon up there, with what's the John Travolta movie?
Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield
Earth.
Oh,
God, that was terrible. Oh, my gosh, that was epically horrible. That was like Ishtar or something.
But even more, I mean, that had, such great energy, and it was just so aggressively bad that it will live on forever, even those of us who can't actually remember the title sometimes. But Book of Henry is that level of bad, and the others are just kind of mediocre. And just about any weekend you choose to name, Hollywood will on a decent weekend will release two mediocre movies and one stinker.
and here we go.
It's the hits that are the rarity now, not the stinkers.
We should note the top two movies: Cars 3, High Tech Computer Animation, and Wonder Woman. The most successful DC movie, which, by the way, coming up on $600 million, but still getting a lot of complaints as far as not being feminist enough or the nature of the hero or her skirt or all of this stuff. And a lot of sturm und drang over a comic book movie.
I know. And one other thing we should mention, very similar to comic book movies. Everyone has been talking about, poor Tom Cruise and poor Universal and poor The Mummy, and it just is failing away. Well, you look around and see how that movie is doing worldwide, mm-hmm. and it's making, they're doing just fine with that overseas. It's going to do very well before it's over.
Yeah, domestically about $57 million. But you tack on the 230 plus it's made elsewhere, and it's going to tick over $300 million by the time we talk again. And so, Universal will be going ahead with the monster franchise. It's just that people will be watching it elsewhere in the world, maybe much more so than anywhere around here. And we should note too, also we've forgotten the huge Mandy Moore movie, 47 Meters Down, that did manage to pull in $11 million. So people wanted to watch a shark swim around a girl who's just kind of hanging out at the bottom of the ocean for a while for some reason. I have to, man, I guess, you know, it's not my business how this works, but it's amazing sometimes you wonder who in the world thought, yes, let's do this movie and see how it turns out. But as you say, you know, Battlefield Earth, and then that'll answer all the questions, I guess.
Well, and with something like, you know, 47 meters down, you know, what we got, it's one of those things that is very easy to describe, you know, in a 30-second meeting. Two girls trapped in a shark cage at the bottom of the ocean. You know, that's the whole movie right there. And so the rest of it is, you know, just, okay, can we get two very attractive young actresses to do this? Can we, you know, get the budget to make the computer-generated shark look real? Yeah, and away we go.
Yeah, I guess so, and it'll be the acting chops of Mandy Moore and the facial expressions and everything that will carry this movie, I suppose.
And they seem to have designed, you know, this kind of a special face mask for them so that we can see more of the facial expressions than you normally can with an actress who is wearing a face mask, you know, for a diving mask, so that you actually can see their faces a bit more and they can speak and things like that, which adds a little bit to the movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to guess not all that much, in honesty. So let's see what we've got coming in on DVD and pay-per-view today. And first up, we've got the movie Life, and let's play a clip of that.
Her heart is beating out of her chest. She's drowning.
Kat, we wouldn't do this together, okay?
You're going to go clockwise from your side. Kat, you're fighting me, Kat. Come on, gotta do it together now. Come on.
Kat.
Look at me.
Kat.
Just pull on the lever, okay? Come on. Just pull down on the lever.
I think she should pull down on the lever at some point there.
There's a lot of stuff like that. Lots of scenes with people yelling at each other and stuff, which I thought really didn't add all that much. And here's the situation. This is essentially a remake of Alien. We've got this little satellite or capsule thing that gathered specimens on Mars, and it's coming back to Earth, and it is caught by the astronauts in the International Space Station, and they start examining the dirt that they've got, and they find that there's something alive in there, a little microscopic thing, and it immediately starts growing. Well, you know kind of where this is going. It turns out that it grows very quickly and very nastily and very hungrily, and pretty soon it's eating people, and if it gets back to Earth, that's it. It's the end of everything. And if you've seen any of the trailers, you know that things do not go particularly well for the International Space Station in this either. I'm really not giving anything away that's not out there. You've got people like Ryan Reynolds and Jake Gyllenhaal in it. They do pretty good work. It's a good enough little movie for what it is, and the effects look nice. They do the anti-gravity stuff very well, but you can't help but compare it to Alien, and most horror movies just don't measure up, because it is one of the all-time great horror movies, and this one just doesn't have that same sense of reality to it and the dread from this critter that the original critter in Alien did. So I kind of enjoyed it, and I recommend it to horror fans, but don't expect anything that's really going to knock your socks off.
Now, and I have to say, Mary and I were talking about this yesterday, and neither of us had so much as even heard of this movie, which strikes me as a bad sign for how well it did when it was originally released, assuming it was, and it's not just a direct-to-pay-per-view or something.
No, it was released, but did not do very well, and it looks good. I mean, you can see all the money they spent on it right there on the screen. But you're right, movies that are every bit as good as this are going direct to pay-per-view now, and it's happening even with big stars. What we're doing now is kind of recreating what we had at the first days of the video revolution, where movies would go straight to first to videotape and then to DVD before they went anywhere else. And now it's happening with pay-per-view more and more.
All right, so here we go, Mary. Do we have a clip from this? Net? We've got one that's not so terribly new here, but just being released on Blu-ray.
This life, what a joke. This situation, this room.
Joe, maybe you should just go.
You look terrible, Mr. Watori. You look like a bag of stuffed in a cheap suit. Not that anybody could look good under these zombie lights. I can feel them sucking the juice out of my eyeball.
I hate it when the juice gets sucked out of my eyeballs. So, Joe versus the volcano, Tom Hanks, and Mike, you call this an underrated masterpiece.
Yes, I don't. I do, and I stand by that. Now, what you heard there, that clip is from the very beginning of the movie, when Tom Hanks' character is stuck in this terrible job, this terrible life. Everything is just awful. And believe me, what you're seeing on the screen, it matches everything he's saying there. It's just so appallingly bad. And this is not a movie that you're supposed to take realistically as such. It's more kind of a fable. Because his solution to getting out of this terrible life that he's in, because beyond all that, he's got a brain cloud, a fatal brain cloud that's going to kill him. And so his doctor suggests that he go and sacrifice himself in a volcano in the South Pacific to save the Waponi tribe. And the leader of the Waponis is played by Abe Vigoda. That just kind of shows you the level of reality they're dealing with there. And so the Tom Hanks character, then Joe, goes on to do this, and he's given a luxurious voyage to take care of this, and it's what happens as he prepares himself for that voyage and then goes on it that is the real story of the movie. Meg Ryan shows up in a couple of different roles too. It's not a simple movie, and it's not a movie that a lot of people really seem to understand. It's just really quirky, and it appealed to me. And it's one of those movies, and I guess this is the definition of a cult hit in a way, and that some people just passionately love, and most viewers look at it and like you, just kind of scratch their head. What am I supposed to like about this? It works for me. There's something about the story it's telling, the character that Tom Hanks is playing, and this was 1990, I believe, 1980, before he was the big Tom Hanks star that he is now. So he was really taking chances, doing different things. If you've never seen this movie, I recommend it. Brian does not, but you know, just take that for what it's worth. I think it's a terrific movie, and I'm ready to watch it again any night.
Yeah, I think you were close with 1990 than 1980. Actually, I think it's very much late 80s after the whole Bosom Buddies and Splash and all of that stuff. And by the way, Abe Vigoda has never looked better. We'll say that. But the main thing I took away from this was not terrible, but all of a sudden it ended, and I thought it probably had another 15 or 20 minutes to go. And it just seemed like a very odd way to finish the whole thing off, and very unsatisfying. But that said, I haven't seen it since it first came out on like VHS in 1991 or something like that.
Yeah.
But so there, Joe versus the Volcano. Check it out and see. And
wasn't this the first time he teamed up with Meg Ryan?
I think so, yeah.
That worked out for the both of them.
That has worked out for them,
yes. No question. Yep. All right, Mike, thank you very much. We will talk again next week.
Take care, guys.